Life, Love, Faith, and Family is sponsored by the generosity of CityServe. Please go to cityserve.us to learn more about this amazing organization that works in cities across America and internationally. CityServe works through your local church to bless the underserved with their 10 initiatives. Go to cityserve.us to find out more and to bless them, won't you?
Welcome to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors, the world's leading organization for Christian mental health care providers and advocates, with over 50,000 engaged members and students. I'm Jim Kress, and on behalf of our hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, thanks for making us a part of your day. We appreciate your time and support for what we do to help you grow better relationships and a deeper faith. Give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. Call our constituent care team at 800-526-8673 for information on AACC resources, courses, scholarships, and live events. And if you like what you hear on today's broadcast, tell a friend and join us on social media for more content. Just go to timclinton.com to find out more. Now, let's join our host, president of the AACC, licensed professional counselor and marriage and family therapist, Dr. Tim Clinton.
Thanks, Jim. On behalf of my son and co-host, Zach Clinton, I want to welcome you back to part two of an interview I conducted with Rabbi Jonathan Kahn on his powerful book, The Josiah Manifesto. I want to get right back into it, but hey, let me reset kind of the table for you. As you know, we're living in challenging times. If you watch the news, the insanity that's online, it's unbelievable. You talk about darkness. The pain, the pressure, and the pace of modern-day times, too, I think, is overwhelming to people. And so in the midst of all this, we're just trying to figure out where are we and where are we going? Well, we're going to pick right up there, as a lot of people believe we're living in the end times. What are some of the signs, challenges, issues before us? In his book, The Josiah Manifesto, Rabbi Jonathan Kahn takes us deeper into this journey, revealing unbelievable thoughts, wisdom, direction as we look to the future. Jonathan, let me hand this back to you as we get started here on day two, talking about The Josiah Manifesto. Again, for those who were unable to listen yesterday, give us a quick recap of what the manifesto reveals.
Yeah, would say, what if there was a revelation that God is giving us now? What if God was giving us a message in the events of our times that are really about that, about what we need to do? You know, so many believers are looking and saying, what do we do? What's going on? Well, there's always an answer. And what if God is really showing us? And what if behind the events that we have all witnessed, we all just went through this plague, we've gone through shakings. What if there was actually a meaning in it? What if there was a mystery behind it? What if there was a mystery so precise from God, from the Bible, that it actually ordains the exact times when these happened, you know, and where it's going. And if all these things converge together to open up a key about what we need to know for what's coming. And, you know, one of the things, you know, I mentioned at the beginning of the last program is that this is the only book where almost every other mystery that began with my other books are kind of coming home to come together for an answer. I felt very strongly I had to write this now for God's people. I mean, beyond, for people who are also not saved, but the answer part for God's people.
We started out talking also about your trip to Cuba. Yes. And how really on the year of Jubilee, we saw a massive transformation. It was shocking.
Yeah. And Tim, and I'm not, you know, listen, I don't claim that I know all these things when I do something, I don't necessarily know why, but I was led to very clearly give to Fidel Castro, for those who didn't hear it, a prophetic object and a prophetic message. And it ended up, this mystery of God ended up giving the exact year that his reign would end. That began in 1959. And not only the year, but the exact day, and not just the day, but the exact hour. And that mystery linked to Leviticus 25 actually is also the mystery that's been unfolding in America and has changed all of our lives.
And Jonathan, the connection on the issue of abortion, and then the connection between abortion and the COVID pandemic, and how it even entered the country, the relationship there, and more. As we go on through the Josiah Manifesto, you move to a place where you began talking about the incident around January 6th.
Yes.
President Trump, and a king named Jehu.
Yes.
Take us there.
Tim, this began in the book that I wrote called The Paradigm, but what happened now happened after I wrote the book. Now, first, for those to get an idea, I've said that there are things that are replaying, and the answer to everything's in the Bible. And God gives templates, and God gives patterns. And the thing is that in the days when Israel was falling away from God, there was a pattern, there was a template that took place that actually modern American leaders, without knowing it, are following that template. And this is not saying that the Bible is prophesying these people. It's saying that there are templates of God. And so I will just give a little kind of setup here. And that is that, and this is not political, but Donald Trump. Well, the mystery of Donald Trump in the paradigm is that he's following this template of this, without knowing it, this man called Jehu. Jehu was wild, unpredictable. Well, Donald Trump is unpredictable.
A man of controversy.
Of controversy. Absolutely. You know what, Tim? You can't say that, you know, was Jehu a man of God? We can't say it, but we can say that he was used of God. And so the thing is that, yeah, he's a man of controversy, and he was fighting with this Jehu was fighting with everybody, like Trump. He started this race to the throne that was a wild race. The Bible says it must be Jehu driving because he drives like a madman. It's a crazy race. Same with the race with Donald Trump. Jehu makes an alliance with the religious conservatives of his land. And he actually has a partnership with a pious man of God, and he rides to the Capitol with this man, exactly what Donald Trump does. And then when Jehu gets to the throne, he comes face to face in a showdown with the nation's former first lady. And the former first lady in the Bible is, of course, Jezebel. And so, but in the case of America, it was Hillary Clinton. Now, I'm not saying a lot except to say that, interesting, on the issue of abortion, Jezebel was for the worship of Baal, which is the lifting up and sacrificing of children. Well, you know, Hillary Clinton was the champion of abortion by Planned Parenthood of the century. So you have the same things in mind. You know, so everybody was saying that Hillary Clinton was going to win, but the paradigm said that, no, when they come face to face, Jehu will prevail and the former first lady will not. So that's exactly what happened. Then Jehu goes to the capital city. And you know what his agenda is, Tim? His agenda is to drain the swamp. Trump comes in the same way. And again, this is not about Trump. It's about the paradigm of God. So he comes there and he sees a gigantic temple of Baal. So in the capital city is this temple of Baal where they kill children. And Jehu tears it down. And the principle is that when Jehu rises, the temple of Baal falls to the earth. Now, here's like a stunning thing. It turns out that there happened to be a temple of Baal that had still stood from ancient times in the world in Syria. And the thing is, when Donald Trump began his rise in the summer of 2015, 2 months later, the 2,000-year-old temple of Baal falls to the earth. The principle, when Jehu rises, the temple of Baal falls. So that's the beginning of his reign. But at the end of Donald Trump's term, something else happened. Now, this, Tim, was not in the paradigm because it came true after, but the template is in the paradigm, and then it happened afterwards. And that is this. I will just say this. There is and I put it, of course, in the manifesto, and that is that there is a time in the Bible when Jehu calls people from all over the nation to gather in the capital city. Well, Trump does that as well. And by the way, anything I'm saying here, it's not condoning anything that happened. We're against anything that is of violence and all. But there is I'm talking about the template here and what it means. And so he calls together, Jehu calls the people to the capital city. So does Trump. Then the people of Jehu surround a great capital building. Okay. So now the people of Trump surround the actual capital building. And then, according to the template in the Bible, the people of Jehu then lay siege or enter or storm the great Capitol building while there are proceedings going on inside the Capitol building. And so what happens in January 6th? Same exact thing. They go inside, they storm it. And by the way, I'm going to say this too, and I don't know if I mentioned this or not. The week that began January 6th, you know what? Something interesting happened. The new Congress was sworn in. It was Democrat-led Congress. And the prayer that was lifted up, as they always lift up a prayer, was prayed in the name of Brahma. First time. It was inaugurated in the name of a false god, a pagan god. So just a note that actually links to the mystery. Now, when the Capitol Police announced that they had arrested on site the people in Washington on that first week when it happened, they made big headlines. They said, we have arrested 80 people. If you go to the Book of Kings and you go to Jehu, the Hebrew says the number of those who stormed the Capitol building was 80 men.
Jonathan, in the midst of it, the connecting points are eerie, if you will, because as you begin to see the issue of abortion and the appointment of the president, President Trump, and you're talking about Jehu and the bringing down of Baal, bring those pieces together for us because this is fascinating.
Yeah, totally. The whole war, the image of the Temple of Baal and Jehu, which actually frames Donald Trump's the beginning of his rise and the end of his term, the beginning and end, it is about something exactly what you said. The Temple of Baal represented the killing of children. It was the vessel in which children were killed. And so in America, that is, you know, what is the vessel that legalized this across the land? It was Roe versus Wade. Roe versus Wade is a temple of Baal. Now, let's say we didn't know anything. We came to this planet. We knew this paradigm, but we didn't know what was going to happen. Well, you look and we've got a Jehu, a man who's following without realizing it, who pulled down the temple of Baal. Then you have this temple of Baal of Roe versus Wade. What it's saying is that Donald Trump, again, you know, we don't know his motives, but the fact is he is going to be instrumental in pulling down abortion or Roe versus Wade. And that's exactly what happened. And, you know, interesting, Tim, because Jehu originally was serving under Ahab and Jezebel. So he was for the Temple of Baal, but then he changed. Well, Donald Trump was originally for abortion, but he changed. It's not about a person, it's about God. So he would be used. And as exactly as you said, he would, by nominating the three Supreme Court justices, and the last one was the most crucial, happened just in the last window of time, at the end of his time to do it, he nominated the three ones. Well, that would be instrumental. If he didn't do that, there's no way that Roe versus Wade would have been overturned. He needed every single vote. And interesting thing is, you know, there was talking about this battle between Jehu and the Temple of Baal. Interesting thing, because when Trump was rising and running for the candidacy, it was like 1 month before the election, and he and Hillary Clinton both linked to New York, a strange object appears in New York. And the object that appears in New York is actually from or reproduced from the Temple of Baal that fell when Donald Trump began to rise. They actually erected it in New York City. I was there. I witnessed it. We filmed it because they had a ceremony. It was on City Hall. They had the leaders of New York giving praise in this, playing music of Baal. And they had a sign that said Temple of Baal. And they uncovered it and they applauded it. And this is a sign of a war going on. This is a war of, again, Jehu, Temple of Baal, abortion. And this is a sign that actually abortion is going to be overturned, or Roe versus Wade. And then here's the other thing, Tim. When Trump nominated the second person, which was Kavanaugh, if you remember, it was a fury on Capitol Hill. You know, it was because the issue of abortion, that was the reason. And while that was happening, while all hell was breaking loose on Capitol Building, outside the Capitol building, an object appears. It's the Arch of Baal from the Temple of Baal, the same arch. They erected it. And I'm not saying they knew what they were doing, but it appears right in front of the Capitol building, this war, which is ultimately over abortion. And ultimately, this is going to, as in the pulling down of the Temple of Baal, this is ultimately going to pull down Roe versus Wade.
So, Jonathan, I'll make sure I've got the connecting points here. What you're saying is abortion really was America's form of Baal worship.
Yeah.
This goes back to killing our children.
Tim, they literally, I spoke about this more in The Return of the Gods, but they were worshiping gods where they had to lift up their children on the altar. One of the things is that when a nation that has known God turns away from God, it ends up, like what happened to Israel? They ended up offering their children. So look what happened. As America started driving God out in the 60s, what happened at the end of that decade is we started also offering up our own children, just like Israel did, in the form of abortion. You know, Israel offered up, you know, thousands of children in the Valley of Hinnom. We have offered up over 60 million children, and that has a price.
So, Jonathan, then the Jubilee nullifies, undoes what was done.
That's right. That's exactly right. This all began in the, what we're talking about. We have the plague. Yeah, we have, you know, which that's one form of inverting what happened. 50 years later, we have death to death. You take life, life is taken. But the other side is redemption, because at the same time, this, what we've been living through, Tim, from this plague and all the connections with abortion, there's also a redemption beginning at the same time, because the Jubilee, that's the other side, is exactly, it's going to, if it reverses what was done, it's going to reverse what was done with abortion or with Roe versus Wade. And that's exactly what we're going to see, a new mystery along the same pattern of the Jubilee, but it's going to be towards redemption.
Our special guest today, 7-time New York Times bestselling author, Rabbi Jonathan Cahn, all about his new book. I think it's his most explosive book yet, The Josiah Manifesto, The Ancient Mystery and Guide for the End Times. It's a real work, Jonathan, to help us navigate these turbulent, crazy, insane waters that we find ourselves in with hope. Doesn't mean, Jonathan, that the road before us isn't going to be stormy or bumpy or that we don't have to fight. As a matter of fact, there's a clarion call here as we continue through this to do that very thing. But again, it's filled with hope because while these are unprecedented times, Jonathan, God's at work, isn't he?
Yeah, listen, God's on the throne. You know, even when I wrote The Harbinger, you know, I was surprised that many believers were saying, you know, this gave me hope because this is showing me God is actually in, the God of the Bible is actually in control just as he was in the Bible. And that's exactly so.
Let's step back then and look at this connecting point, this Jubilee piece, if you will, and go back to Norma McCorvey, Henry Wade, what happened. It was filed, I don't think a lot of people know this, in 1970.
Yes.
And that's significant as we fast forward, if you will, to the Dobbs versus Jackson decision that went down and how Roe was eventually overturned. Can you begin to connect all the points for us?
Yes, it's that mystery. Now it's the other side of the Jubilee, which is redemption. Well, on one hand, yeah, people don't realize it. As you said, you know, Roe versus Wade was actually began in 1970. That was, you know, that was as Norma Corby, a troubled person who wanted an abortion because she wanted actually to drink and have drugs and at the time. So she went to an attorney in Texas. And the thing is that when she went, it was 1970, and actually it was late January. Interesting, because when you go forward 50 years, what happens in late January 2020? The plague comes, you know. And then you know when Roe versus Wade became a case? It became a case in March of 1970. So what happens when you go to March 2020? That's when the full weight of all this of COVID comes on America. But now there's a redemption side because, you know, God takes, he'll use something and he'll turn it around for good. So here was a case that was on the state level, was appealed by the state, and then it went to the Supreme Court. Well, what happens is, go one Jubilee year, 1970, Roe versus Wade was sent to the Supreme Court. Well, 50 years later, that takes you to 2020, another case is sent to the Supreme Court, actually both in the summer, sent to the Supreme Court, and that is Dobbs versus Jackson, and that is going to overturn Roe versus Wade. Now, Roe versus Wade was received, taken up by the Supreme Court in May 1971. Well, what happens when you apply the mystery? Go forward 50 years. It takes you to May 2021. May 2021, Dobbs versus Jackson is taken up by the Supreme Court to match Roe versus Wade. Then Roe versus Wade was heard before it received its hearing in front of the Supreme Court in December of 1971. Well, apply the mystery of the Jubilee. It takes you to December of 2021. Anything happen? Dobbs versus Jackson received its hearing, the Jubilee of Roe versus Wade. In fact, Tim, remember before the verdict came out, it was leaked. Remember with Dobbs versus Jackson,
yes.
It was a big leak.
Yes.
Everyone went crazy, you know, just before it came out. If you go back 50 years, Roe versus Wade was leaked.
I didn't know that. I was stunned by that.
Again, it's mind-boggling, and it's redemption.
I want to go back to a piece that you had written in here under the mystery of Sivan 23.
Yes.
In it, you go back to the story of Esther, and it recounts how the Jews of Persia were saved from annihilation. I think it was Haman planned to exterminate the Jews, and then Esther steps in along with Mordecai, exposes his plan. But there was an ordinance of nullification that was given. And I thought this was really fascinating. And it was the 23rd day of the Hebrew month of Sivan.
Yes. And Tim, I got to say something. It is a joy to do an interview with someone who has totally read every part. I am so blessed. Yes. So here, there's actually two mysteries here. One is when Haman makes this decree that's going to bring death and destruction, it is linked to the Hebrew date Adar 13, which is the 13th day of the 12th month on the Bible's calendar. 13th day of the 12th month, decree of death and destruction. Well, the thing is, Roe versus Wade received its hearing in the Supreme Court on December 13th, the 13th day of the 12th month, a decree of death and destruction. Yes. But then, according to the mystery, when you go further, as you said, there's another decree that's issued to nullify the first decree. So it's a decree like the first decree, except it's going to nullify the death and destruction, and that is Mordecai's decree. So the first thing is you see that, you know, as there was that decree or that case of Roe versus Wade, Dobbs versus Jackson goes through the same exact steps as Roe versus Wade, just like Mordecai. When you read in Esther, Mordecai's decree goes through the exact steps that Haman's decree went through. So Dobbs goes through the same as Roe versus Wade, step by step, actually in the exact time. Okay. But finally, when the Bible gives a date when the decree of nullification goes forth, and that the date is, it says, as you said, Sivan 23, it's done, it goes forth to do its thing. Well, Sivan 23, okay, is a Hebrew date. Now, Dobbs versus Jackson went forth to the Supreme Court 50 years after Roe versus Wade did, same time of year, same thing, but it went forth on June 15, 2020, the Jubilee of abortion on demand. It went there, and so June 15th, but on the Bible Hebrew calendar, it went forth on the day of Sivan 23, the day of the decree that is going to nullify the evil decree. That's when it went forth. In fact, Tim, on that day, Sivan 23, Jewish people all over the world are in prayer, praying for God to nullify all evil decrees. As they're praying for it, the very decree is going forth to nullify Roe versus Wade.
It's just, you can't make this up.
No.
You can't. Hey, Jonathan, we're fighting time for our second day of the broadcast here, but I did want you just to tease out a little bit about the children of the Nile and then begin to connect a little bit more here that was fascinating as you look at the transition along with President Trump, who now is faced with the loss of Ruth Bader Ginsburg and the appointment. But there's some amazing pieces here that, again, are shocking to me.
There's the mystery of the child of the Nile. That's somebody who's actually appointed, born for that moment. There's also the mystery of the Hebrew holy days on which all these things are going to happen. It's almost like when you get to the point, it's going to be like all these mysteries are coming together to one moment to do what basically God is going to do.
Jonathan, what a delight it's been to have you. The Josiah Manifesto, Jonathan's new instant bestseller, The Ancient Mystery and Guide for the End Times. Where can people get copies of this new book?
You go to Amazon, go online, anywhere where you get books, it's going to be there. Even store, Walmart, Barnes & Noble, it's going to be everywhere. I always pray that people get it, not only for themselves, but also for those in their lives who need to know it.
Dr. Tim Clinton with you to wrap all this up. I want to thank Rabbi Kahn again for giving us his time. I love the way Rabbi Kahn was able to guide us to hope. No matter how difficult things may seem, in Christ, we are more than overcomers. Hope you get a copy of his book, The Josiah Manifesto. Thanks again for listening. We love being a part of your life.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors, the world's leading organization for Christian mental health care providers and advocates, with over 50,000 engaged members and students. On behalf of our hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, God's richest blessings to you all. Join us again next time, and don't forget to go to timclinton.com to contact us. Or give us a call. You can call our constituent care team at 800-526-8673 for information on AACC resources, courses, scholarships, and live events. That's 800-526-8673. I'm Jim Kress. Thanks again for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family.
We'll be right back. Don't miss the 2024 Stand Strong Mega National Christian Counseling Conference, coming to the amazing Anatole Hotel in Dallas, Texas in October. Featuring world-leading and dynamic experts like John Townsend, Daryl Strawberry, Kelly Shackelford, Gregory Jantz, Samuel Rodriguez, Leslie Vernick, Jennifer Ellers, and more. Plus, with cutting-edge pre-conference workshops and specialization counselor training and coaching intensives from industry leaders with the opportunity to earn continuing education credits. Join thousands of counselors, psychologists, marriage and family therapists, pastors, ministry leaders, and coaches from around the world. We can't wait to see you at the 2024 Stand Strong Mega National Christian Counseling Conference.
Life, Love, Faith, and Family is sponsored by the generosity of CityServe. Please go to cityserve.us to learn more about this amazing organization that works in cities across America and internationally. CityServe works through your local church to bless the underserved with their 10 initiatives. Go to cityserve.us to find out more and to bless them, won't you?